Hello, and welcome to the Legal Marketing 2.0 podcast. I am your host, Guy Alvarez, and today we're speaking with Alan Schneider. Alan is the director of paid search for Good2B Social. And today we're going to be talking about retargeting and remarketing. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Hey, Guy. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for being here. How long have you been doing Google AdWords and paid search? Tell us a little bit about how long you've been focusing on this sector.
About 15 years. Many years ago, I had a company called Mr.-SEO.com that I founded with Joe Balestrino, who happens to be the director of SEO for Good2B Social. And we ended up selling that company in 2008. But for many years, we worked on both SEO and PPC. Joe sort of went the way of SEO, and I liked pay-per-click quite a bit better. So I, you know, from a point of about, 12 or so years ago, just started doing PPC exclusively. So in total, about 15 years, 12 of which have been almost all pay-per-click.
So in addition to the work you do for us, you also have your own clients and you work with obviously companies outside of legal. Is there a lot of difference between the legal market and companies outside of legal when it comes to PPC?
You bet there is, yeah. Retail especially is significantly different in terms of what obviously your goals are. You know, every retailer obviously wants to make sales, but they need to do so at a return on ad spend or an ROI effectively that, you know, makes it worth their while to advertise. Lead gen is a little bit more difficult because you're usually working with finite geographic area instead of, say, the entirety of the country. So you bet, yeah, there are a lot of differences between most of my other clients and what I do for Good2B Social.
And what is unique about the legal industry when it comes to pay-per-click? Are there specific challenges or nuances when it comes to law firms and lawyers as opposed to other people doing pay-per-click?
Yes, the competition is extreme when it comes to law firms and lawyers, as you might guess. And of course, some of that is going to be regional. But as you know, we work with a lot of clients in the Northeast, and especially the New York City and Boston area. And those are highly, highly competitive. You have a lot of law firms competing for only so many impressions every day, regardless of which, you know, area of law we're talking about or area of practice we're talking about. So, yeah, I mean, it's lead gen can be very tough in the law industry, but, you know, it can also be very rewarding, as we know, when we're able to give our clients leads that turn into cases that turn into revenue for them. So,
excellent. All right, so let's get to today's topic. And we often hear this from our clients. They want to do retargeting or they want to do remarketing. And I don't think a lot of legal marketers really understand the difference between retarget and remarketing. Tell us a little bit about what exactly each of them is and how are they different?
You bet. So quite a few years ago, some companies started a system wherein they would go in and look at your analytics and they would put a tag on your visitors to your site. And this could be any analytics, you know, Google Analytics, Omniture, IBM, didn't matter. They would sort of cookie these visitors to your site, and then they would buy what we call media buys and go back and advertise to them later if they didn't perform the function you wanted those visitors to perform. So whether we're talking about sales or leads, if they didn't buy something or if they didn't fill out your lead form, then they could show ads to these people again as they visited other websites. And those media buys could be from anywhere. It could be, you know, from somebody with a large portfolio of websites, but most often they were actually buying ad space from Google. So that's what retargeting is. And some of the early adopters, AdRoll was one. They're still around. Fetchback was one. They got bought out by GSI quite a few years ago. Criteo is a big one now, but there are a lot of companies that offer this. And most of them just work, you know, in terms of large scale media buys, and they advertise to just about anyone. But there are some specialized companies out there who only deal in certain verticals, but that gets quite a bit more pricey. Remarketing, alternately, is Google's take on retargeting. So after this happened, Google decided, okay, well, we're going to do that as well. the big difference is with Google remarketing, you have to have, we're talking about using Google Analytics as your analytics, and we're talking about having it linked to AdWords. And if you're a retailer, you also have to have a Google Merchant Center account so you can upload your feed and your products and all that kind of stuff. But essentially, they function exactly the same. They're taking your audience, an audience of people who have visited your site, and they're marketing to them on other websites that they might visit. And initially, this was really aimed at retail. So, you know, it would be a situation where you might visit a page on a website and look at something to buy but not buy it, and then you might see an ad for it later. Well, this, you know, it works just as well for lead gen, of course. So now it's very popular in lead gen as well. But yeah, that's really the only difference. It functions exactly the same. It's just whether or not if you're working with retargeting, you're using some other third party company's interface to set up your campaigns. If you're working with remarketing, you're using Google AdWords to set up your campaigns.
And so, you know, we get a lot of clients that say, well, you know, I want to do that kind of stuff where the ads follow me around. I guess that's what they call it. You know, how effective in your mind is remarketing or retargeting, you know, having those ads follow people around?
I'll tell you, and this is just, you know, from a personal perspective, when this first started, I thought it was very sort of Big Brother, George Orwellian, 1984. You know, it was a little too close for me that I would visit a website and then see ads from that website after the fact. But I am as guilty as anyone of clicking them. So it works. I mean, it's very effective. Whether, you know, a lot of people may not like it, but it does work, and it works really well. So in terms of overall conversion rates, often, especially with my retail clients, you'll see that those retargeting conversion rates are actually higher than the initial ads. But of course, you're talking about people who, you know, visited the website, and there are other parameters we can set. We can say, okay, they had to spend X amount of time on the website. They had to visit certain pages. You could even set up a remarketing audience to, and this is a retail example, but, you know, people who made it to the cart. So they were at least on one page of the cart. So we know they were on the edge, you know, and we just want to remarket to those people as opposed to anyone who visited the website. It is very effective.
And one of the things that I found surprising is remarketing is actually quite less expensive as opposed to just traditional pay-per-click. In other words, the amount of impressions you get when you're remarketing and the cost associated is substantially lower than just doing traditional pay-per-click. Is that right?
It is right. And here's the reason why. So when you're talking about advertising on the way AdWords works is there are essentially two networks. There's the search network, which are ads that are shown in the search results page when you do a search on Google or any of Google's partners. And then there's the display network, which are ads that are shown on other people's website. And just to briefly explain a little bit about that, the flip side to the display network on AdWords, which AdWords is a product for advertisers, is a program called AdSense. And AdSense is a program for people who own websites, whether you own one website or 1,000 websites. You are basically selling your space to Google in the AdSense program so that they can place ads on your website. The reason for the disparity in cost is because with the search network, you know people are searching for what it is that you're offering, whether that's, you know, a law service or whether you're selling televisions. It doesn't matter. People type something in. If you're bidding on those keywords, you show an ad, it's highly, highly competitive. On display network, especially with remarketing, where you're not targeting necessarily anything that's happening on the page. In other words, the targeting has nothing to do with what the website is about. It only has to do with the fact that these people were on your site previously. You're just showing an ad on a random website to a very specific targeted audience. So yes, the cost per click is often just a fraction of what it would be to show an ad on search network.
Now, I know from experience that not every website can participate in remarketing. And that has to do a lot with the number of visits that you get to your websites on a monthly basis. Talk a little bit about that.
You bet. Yeah. So remarketing is like anything else. Only a certain percentage of the people who visit your site are going to go to other sites where they will see your ads. And of that percentage, only a certain percentage is going to interact with the ad. And of that percentage, only a certain percentage will go back and do what you want them to do, of course. So So the larger the audience you have, the obviously the better it is for you. In other words, the more people that are visiting your website, the more people you have to market to. That's kind of elementary. But Google also sets some limits. So they'll say, you know, you need at least 1,000 unique visitors a month going through analytics for us to consider it an audience worthwhile to remarket to. And I believe that is the current stipulation with Google in terms of audience size. But there are other factors as well outside of audience size that matter. And that's something that affects a lot of our law clients. So as an example, one of the big caveats with Google remarketing, and not all third-party remarketing companies have this, but Google does, is that you can't show an ad to anyone who you've identified as having some sort of a condition. So just to give you a really basic example, if you're doing remarketing for, you know, auto accidents, as an example, you're a lawyer looking for auto accident leads, you can't show ads. Unfortunately, you can't participate in the remarketing program because you're identifying that person as someone who has been in an accident. So, you know, that is the big limitation for lead gen, is that if it's anything that you could personally, I'll give you another example. I have a retail client that sells humidors. And unfortunately, you can't remarket to people because you're identifying that person as a smoker, believe it or not. So
Interesting.
Yeah. And Google is very adamant about it, unfortunately, although, you know, occasionally some do slip through. But for the most part, you know, if they review your account at any point and deem that, hey, that's not right, they'll automatically shut it down.
So you talked a little bit about the Google AdSense network. What's the potential reach in terms of websites running Google AdSense?
There are some, not Google, of course, but other third-party websites that have claimed that the reach is about 2 billion. But you also have to understand there are a lot of awful websites out there. And yes, some of them participate in the AdSense program. Of course, it's all automated that you sign up for it. No human being goes and checks out your site and says, oh, yeah, you're a winner. We'll take you. But in my mind, you know, there are probably maybe 500 million what I would call viable websites that are out there that participate in AdSense that you could show your ads on. It's I don't want to say it's more than plenty, but it really is more than plenty. You know, it's a huge network. It's the largest network. And in fact, most of the retargeting companies, their main media buy is actually from Google. So they're buying that ad space as well. They're just doing it through Google because Google, of course, already has this system set up to buy a website space to display ads from website owners.
Got it. And what is dynamic remarketing? What is that all about?
So dynamic remarketing, and it works in both retail and lead gen, but it's sort of, I'll give you two different examples. So let's say that you go to a website like a popular one is B&H Photo Video, and you're interested in buying a camera, and you look at five or six different cameras. With dynamic remarketing, the ad that is displayed to you will not show you just a generic banner for B&H Photo Video. It'll show you the actual items that you were looking for. So in other words, with dynamic remarketing, you're tracking not only the fact that they visited your website, but what pages did they visit? What products were they interested in? But this works for lead gen as well. So let's say, as an example, you're a large law firm and you handle things like wills, trusts, estate remediation, maybe elder law, things like that. So you have multiple practice areas within a large law firm. You can set your ads up. You can set up remarketing in such a way that with dynamic remarketing, the ad will reflect the page that people visited. So in other words, if they were really interested in the page on setting up a trust, you know, why do you want to show them an ad that just generically touts your law firm? That's okay, but wouldn't it be better if that ad talked about, you know, hey, we're the leader in trust in the Boston, Massachusetts area or, you know, wherever they are. So that's what dynamic remarketing is. It just allows you to get a little more granular and, you know, set the ads up to talk to people about what it is on your site that they were looking at in the first place.
So that's really interesting. So you could target based upon whatever practice areas the visitor was looking and basically show them a different ad based upon their interest. That's really cool. I didn't even know you could do that. So for those firms that don't qualify into the Google AdSense websites, you know, for the reasons you just mentioned, what are some of the alternative display networks options for law firms? Talk a little bit about that.
You bet. Yeah. Well, and believe me, it's if they don't qualify, it's because of Google policy. The sites that are on AdSense don't really, they'll take any advertiser. They just want to make money. But it's Google policy is why they wouldn't be able to qualify. But so we have other options, and there are a couple of, one of the most basic options is you can just target by keywords. So in other words, you can say, look, I'm a law firm, I handle PI cases, and I want my ad shown on websites that have pages that talk about, you know, personal injury. And that's not terribly effective. There are a lot of pages out there on a lot of websites that talk about personal injury, but unfortunately, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have success generating leads that way. But one of the other targeting measures that we do like to use quite a bit is within AdSense, which is all of these sites, all of these websites that have signed up to allow Google to show ad space, we can go in and find particular websites that we like. So as an example, if we have, you know, a law.com or, a, you know, some of these other popular law websites where we know they have a good base of visitors who are trying to find out more about the law, maybe they're interested in, you know, they think they have a case, they don't know, but they're not ready to contact a lawyer. Those are fantastic sites for us because we can choose them on AdSense, and then we can display, you know, ads. And in some cases, we can actually, if they have subdomains, we can choose the subdomain. So in other words, if a site has a section that's purely about, you know, personal injury, that's really where we want to show, you know, our personal injury clients' ads on the display network if possible. So we're not limited. Just because you can't do remarketing, we can still take advantage of the display network on AdWords and, you know, get our clients' ads out there. And as you and I have talked about many, many, many times, one of the best things about pay-per-click is if it works, great. If it doesn't work, well, you're not going to spend a lot of money finding out. So, you know, we can always, if something's not working, we shut it down and try somewhere else.
And on that note, I know that it's not only Google that's in the world of remarketing. I've had occasions where I will visit a website and then all of a sudden I will see their ads running on Facebook or I will see their ads running on Instagram. So it seems like more and more of the major content providers on the web are creating one or another sense of retargeting or remarketing.
You bet. Yeah. And with retargeting companies, so I'll use AdRoll as one example, they have a multitude of easy ways to connect with whatever the, you know, some of them don't even rely on your analytics anymore. As an example, if you're running a site on Magento, that's your content management system, AdRoll doesn't even care what analytics you use. It'll just pull your visitor data right from Magento. And it can show ads anywhere. They have media buys, not only from Google, so Google sites that are running AdSense, obviously, but also, as you mentioned, Facebook, even, you know, YouTube, which is another Google product, but they're all over the place. The only thing that people have to watch out for are most of the retargeting companies give you a cost per click option, and it is the best option. But a few of them work on a cost per sale or a cost per lead basis. And that's fine if the cost per sale and cost per lead is within your budget. But one of the problems is with retargeting companies, they use something called view-through conversions. And what that means is, let's say that you visit a website and then you go out later to a different website, you know, to a different website, and you see the ad for the first website that you visited, but you don't interact with the ad in any way. But later, you return to the website where the ad was that showed you an ad, and you make a purchase or you fill out a lead form. A lot of retargeting companies will actually charge you just because you saw an ad in the interim. And that's what's called a view-through conversion. Even though you didn't interact with the ad, we're going to say that because you saw it, it influenced your decision to return to the website. And that can get pretty costly pretty quick, as you might imagine. So what I would advise any of our clients who are looking into retargeting to do is make sure you're on a cost per click basis so that, you know when they've interacted with the ad, you're only being charged for the click. And, you know, that's the best way to go. And that's true for both lead gen and retail.
Excellent. All right. Well, we just about run out of time. Thank you very much for being on the show. I guess one last thing I want to add is, you know, a lot of our listeners are legal marketers. If they're considering retargeting either for their law firm or their company, you know, what do you think should be the first things they think about in terms of, you know, should we do it? Should we not do it? And then how to get ready for it?
That's a really a good question. So the first thing I would say is look at the other areas of your marketing and make sure you're firing on all cylinders. Because as an example, I'll just use your website as the first one. If you've got a website that's not doing the job in terms of talking to people, in other words, let's say that your bounce rate is horrific. It's, you know, in the high 90s, people are just, the minute they get on your site, they leave. Then it really doesn't pay to remarket to bring those people back, because you're effectively doing something wrong in the first place by not giving them either the information they're looking for or an easy way to contact you. We see this all the time, as you know, where we'll have a website where it's like, gosh, how many layers do I have to go through to find the contact form? You've practically hidden it from me, you know? So make sure that you're covering the basics first, you know, that your site works, that it's functional, that it's inviting, that it gives the information out that people would want to know before they would contact you. Look at your other marketing measures. You know, chances are if you're doing paid search or you're doing some degree of SEO, you know, are you where you need to be with those? Because one of the caveats I should mention about remarketing is, yes, it is super effective, but it's also only going to be people who have reached you in the first place. So whether they did that through paid search, whether they did that through SEO, you could always use more people, you know, coming to your website. So focus on those things first. Remarketing should be a very secondary concern for businesses that have already started or instituted a serious marketing effort, you know, like what we offer at Good to Be Social.
Excellent. Well, Alan, thank you so much for your time. I'll let you get back to work. I know you're very busy. And for our audience, thank you again for joining us today. If you want more information on remarketing, retargeting, or pay-per-click, I invite you to visit us on goodtobesocial.com and fill out the form. We'll be happy to answer any questions. And if you like today's podcast, please make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Go to goodtobesocial.com/podcast. And we'll see you next week. Thank you very much. Have a great day.